Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's going on with Silent Hill 2? We finally got some gameplay footage for it. I feel like a lot of people were waiting to see this thing in motion to be like, okay, does it actually look disappointing? Is it actually as bad as it's going to be? Bluebird don't have the best track record. There are fans of that dev, including myself. Shout out to Observer. They've got some games in there that I didn't mind. But I feel like now that we've seen Silent Hill 2 in motion, Si, what are you thinking? I was waiting to get your thoughts on Cam.
Oh man, I just said to you before we started recording, I've watched it like 3 times. I don't know what my thoughts are. Like, what's going on? Like, another thing that you didn't mention there is that it ends with in development.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone's, we're figuring
like,
this out.
So sure that it was coming out this year maybe or something like that. Not even a window, just kind of no. Like, it's a game that's being made. Okay. The presentation of what they chose to show us is alarming.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what you lead out the gate with your gameplay trailer is a few seconds of, you're like, okay, music's nice, and then there's just like bam, bam, combat, 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 combat. Yeah. It's like, okay.
I couldn't shake it kind of feeling like a fan mod. Like, I get that they're chasing the Resident Evil 2 hype. Like, I've already seen people comparing, like, the way that James holds a pistol to the way that Leon holds a pistol.
Yeah, shoulder, like, the shotgun, and he's like...
Yeah, it's like way more military.
The opening of the door, that got me. I thought that's so Resident Evil 2, like, even that animation.
But it's like trying to chase that, which I guess you would do if you were nakedly just trying to, you know, reboot Silent Hill and do Silent Hill 2, it's the fan favorite one, and do it like Resident Evil. But there's something about the general fidelity of the animation, or like the way that James was moving around. Well, like, if you told me that was a fan mod of the original Silent Hill 2 that they'd retextured and just threw the camera behind him, I would believe you. Like, and I don't mean to slag off Bluebird. Like, I've had a decent enough relationship with their games over the years, but it is kind of fascinating seeing that a lot of the people who were quite negative on it from the start were pretty much right.
I think it's difficult, right? Because if you look at Bluebird's track record and the games they've made, the closest to this, I'd say, is the Medium that they put out a few years ago, which similarly was evoking that kind of classic survival horror style. You know, sometimes it was over the shoulder, sometimes it was fixed perspective. It reminds me of the clunkiness in that, which I think that game got away with because it was very much an indie title. It was very much something smaller scale than a AAA game. But with this being Silent Hill 2, and with us having the kind of relationship that we have with games like Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 2, other big remakes, I think the expectations are just that much higher. I think just another Bluebird team game. Everyone, including myself, might be a little bit more forgiving with it, but the fact that it's this big franchise and the expectations are naturally and rightly so bigger, I think that's where a lot of the kind of, ooh, this is not looking like the game I want it to be comes from.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that some of the clunkiness and some of the jankiness of the animations and stuff, that's probably what you want. Because Silent Hill 2 is not about, it's not an action game.
No, that's
true.
It's
just a dude with a pipe or whatever. It's not, he's not meant to be, you know, an action hero. So
he's not going
to
have reap what you sow on the wall.
It looks a little bit weird in terms of the combat. For me, it was just the choice of like, hey, look, it's got quick time events and something spewing goo on you. And I was like,
that bit was rough,
wasn't
it?
It's like, I don't know about this, guys. But just the general visuals are just, they're not up to par, but it is in development. It has a release window. We have no idea. This could be really early in dev.
Like, another thing as well is like when they initially showed off, I think it was initially the teaser where they showed James Sunderland just sort of southern, like just looking upset.
Fog and
They showed his facial animation. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so upset. And it was like, you are front loading the stuff that is meant to be more towards the back end when you figure out the reality of what that story is, etc. But now that we've seen more gameplay, there is a bit where he's walking through a corridor and just written on the wall, it says, reap what you sow. And it's just like, we are, like, again, they are front loading uploading that stuff. Yeah. Like, that's kind of not the point of the way that story is supposed to go. You're not necessarily supposed to know his state of mind, let's say, until later on, even though you can pick on it, you know, based on the IP that it's in.
Yeah.
But, like, the way that it's shaken out, just for me, it's a really on-the-nose version of that game's message.
Yeah, I definitely get that. You know, I'm looking forward to it. It's Silent Hill. I'll be there day one. I don't even mind if they change these things around. You know, I'm all for that in remakes.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why I love Resident Evil 4 is that they do change things around. I'm not beholden to the original because I've thankfully got that on PlayStation 2. I can just go back and play it. That said, do I think it looks good? Not really, you know, not really. Because I agree with what Si was saying there when you were talking about, obviously, it's a gameplay trailer. They're going to show off gameplay, but front-loading Silent Hill 2 with this much combat, and combat that doesn't even look all that compelling, it does kind of feel to me like you're missing the point. Like, if I was just going off this trailer, having not played and experienced and loved the original, I'd think it was just a game about shooting the Silent Hill nurses or shooting those
the leg monsters,
which are leg-headed so scary still in the PlayStation 2 game, yet did not have any of that menace this time around. And then you add in like the clunkiness of the animations, the kind of crap sound effects and sound design overall. I'm not completely down on it. Just as a combat show-off, I wasn't convinced that one, Silent Hill 2 even needed more combat.
No.
And two, if you were going to include it, this would be the thing to win me over and sell it as an action game. I did like some of the environmental design, you know, not necessarily the on-the-nose messaging of the graffiti and stuff and the symbolism, but there was a few shots earlier on that evoked Silent Hill 2 didn't have the Resident Evil thing of pre-rendered backgrounds, but I thought like there was something about the visuals here that kind of was evoking that, even though they are going for this PS5 powered, almost photorealistic style. They were kind of meshing that quite well. There was something about the atmosphere I liked, so I'm not fully down on it, but yeah, as a game player show off, I can see why people are going, ooh, this is missing the mark.
I'm not writing it off, but they're already fighting an uphill battle, and this is not helping.
I think it's a shame or it's a bad thing or whatever when the main reason to check out your game is morbid curiosity. Like, at this point, it's just like, well, I guess I might as well see what state this thing's in. And like, yeah, you'll have a mix of the hardcore fans, people who have been championing the idea of a remake for years at this point, and just being like, well, I might as well see. I'd be very curious if no one's played Silent Hill at all, you know, if this is the thing that got them in. I still think it's weird leading with part two anyway, after this long. I know that they kind of remade Silent Hill 1 on like the Wii or whatever. They did that whole thing with Sam Barlow, but still, it was an interesting look at the game that's been quite divisive so far. Go on.
Before you move on, I was going to ask, like, what do you think of the Silent Hill approach overall? Because we got the drop of Silent Hill, the short message last night as well, which I haven't played. The Silent Hill F, that's still in development. I think those games are connected. Mm-hmm. And then we had that weird sort of Netflix Black Mirror Bandersnatch.
Oh my god, yeah.
That Ascension, that's the one that
there's, there's Townfall as well.
Townfall as well.
Because
they did put a little statement out last night. I mean, obviously, we knew this is what they're doing anyway, but they put a proper statement out last night saying, like, the short message, short message is part of an overall revival project for Silent Hill. So, like, they're going for it.
The important part about that message is that it's like, this is the first entry in the revival of Silent Hill, so they've already gone. So Ascension didn't happen, guys. Don't worry about that.
That's actually a really good point.
Completely bodied it. They've gone, buy your It's Trauma t-shirts, but the game doesn't exist.
Oh, like,
they've got what they needed out of it.
Remember the It's Trauma stickers?
You can get a t-shirt. It's Trauma. You can buy a t-shirt from the Konami, plug the Konami merchandise store. They're selling Ascension merchandise, even though the game bombed.
Completely missed that when I was off last year.
You didn't miss much.
Thank God.
That whole, just to quickly cover it, that Silent Hill Ascension, it was like an attempt at telling a live story where people could have agency in the way the story went, and then you could pay for different, essentially like a super chat type thing where you could pay for stickers and ways to get on the chat, and one of them was an It's Trauma sticker.
Crazy.
Which at this point is mostly associated with the direction
like
of Silent Hill.
Every day was a new controversy.
Yeah.
Is it written by AI? Why is this man coming out of a bush talking about jam? You know?
the jam scene.
It was definitely
jam.
A thing.
Yeah, oh, you've got so much to see. It was such a weird
thing.
When
we get back downstairs.
But still, their overall approach to it. The thing is, when they did the live stream, I thought that was just last year when they did that live stream, that looked very, very nice. It was well produced, and they said, look, we're doing all these Silent Hill projects. They showed off Silent Hill
F. 2022.
Yeah. 2022. Yeah. And, you know, and they said, yeah, Silent Hill F, which used to be like Project Sakura or whatever it's called. And then they've got in, is it Ryukishio 6, who's like a known sort of Japanese auteur. And it's like, that's a really cool, like you're doing really, really well by the IP. And it's been a long time coming. So I'm still like, until we see the final products for each thing, like I'm still kind of cautiously optimistic, but it seems like a very scattered approach. However, that can be potentially its biggest strength because I don't want you following a really strict brand Bible for this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want it to feel like you gave this IP to various different people to see what they would do with it. Like
yeah.
Silent Hill is a very malleable IP. I'm still like, I mentioned the Sam Barlow games before. I wish they were more widely available. Obviously they worked because of the tech where the characters could literally ring you on a phone through the Wii remote and then you would talk to them. And it's like, that's a really, the really cool ideas there that like that general ethos or that general idea of the Silent Hill IP being malleable. I hope that comes through regardless.
People have said this previously, smarter people than I, but I agree with them when they say that I want Silent Hill to be more than iconography because I've seen a lot of games go down that route. To me, my beloved Fallout, even now under Bethesda, is kind of more iconography than it is story. Yeah. Like you get the Vault Boy, you get the Brotherhood of Steel, but there's no real development. There's no real reason for them to be there in some cases outside of just brand recognition. And that's what I worry when I see Silent Hill 2. I see the nurses, I see Pyramid Head, and I just hope that you can get the soul of what those characters, those designs, that world meant, and not just kind of have them in there because, hey, people remember those things and they're memorable. We'll keep bringing them back.
Yes.
The beauty of like those first games were that, you know, like 1 and 3 were quite deeply connected, but like you said, you know, every time you got a version of Silent Hill, it was slightly different. It had like a slightly different meaning. There was an individual stamp on it, and I don't want to lose that.
I think that is the intention, like they stated in that statement. And I also haven't played Short Message, but I've heard a lot of people say that it does feel like Silent Hill, but also completely fresh. There's a lot of mobile phone usage. It's about cyberbullying, I think. Yeah. They mentioned the pandemic and stuff like that. So it's doing a lot of its own thing.
Cool.
Even though it's kind of like a, hey guys, PT, we did it.
Yeah, yeah. 10 years later.
It is doing sort of some new stuff. And I've seen, different kind of reviews on it so far, but it seems like finally, a good step forward.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like Silent Hill 2 is the only one of these steps forward that's stumbling a bit. Like the Silent Hill F stuff conceptually looks really, really solid. Like the Short Message looks awesome enough and it can channel PT a little bit.
It's not
like,
the only. I mean, we just talked about Ascension. That was not a good,
That's where we're leaving that behind.
I did a long video on this last year, but they've done the same thing now they did back in the day with Konami, where they take Silent Hill and they just give it to small studios, which is great in theory, but when it all falls apart, those studios kind of take the blame for it. And they've done the same thing this time. Silent Hill F is made by Neobards, who are a very small studio at the time and have never made like a single player narrative focused game. So I have reasons to be concerned. Hopefully they'd smash out of the park. That would be great. But it's a weird state to be in.
Yeah, it's also just to round it out in terms of like where Silent Hill 2 kind of sits and the idea of it just becoming iconography. I forget the name of the dude who did design Pyramid Head, but he tweeted last year saying, I wish I never invented Pyramid Head because it's just everywhere at this point. And that's when you think of Silent Hill 2, it just is immediately that.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's way more to it. Yeah, let's talk about Rise of the Ronin. Something that I was really psyched for this, but actually watching it in motion put me off entirely. Like I might still get it for the lols because I like the idea of the game, but as soon as I watched it in motion, as soon as you did the grapple hook thing, went into the glide and the way the combat looked and the hood design and the animation and everything, I was like, this actually looks really bad.
I've had a strange roller coaster ride with this game because when I first saw it, I thought it looked a bit wonky, it looked a bit like not as if it was fully realizing its potential. And then I kind of turned around on it, watched a few more trailers and went back to it and thought, maybe it's not going to be as bad as that. You know, maybe I was being a bit harsh. And then I watched the gameplay demo from the State of Play and thought, no, I was right the first time. This looks undercooked in a lot of ways. It looks quite fun. But I think in a world that already has games like War Long Fallen Dynasty, which, you know, it does similar things in terms of the combat and the movement system. And then, of course, you've got Sekiro, you've got Ghost of Tsushima outclassing, at least in terms of visuals and animation and stuff like that, what this seems to be bringing to the table. I feel like I've played this game before.
Yeah.
That's the question for me is, what does it do different from these other games? What are you bringing to the table that we haven't seen before? And I rewatched a bit of that footage this morning, And I'll give you one guess what the majority of the YouTube comments are.
Yeah.
Sekiro of Tsushima. Everybody's making the same, like, yep, it's just, these games had a baby and it's ungraceful. Yeah.
The thing is, like, I used to love the Way of the Samurai series. Like, shout out to Way of the Samurai 2. And, like, there's a way, because that was a really, like, quite low budget series, but its heart was in the right place. It had so much good, fun writing and so many different choices that you could make about this, like, which version of a samurai do you want to be to these different villages and everything. I love that stuff on the PS2. There's a way to do a throwback, you know, game like that and not necessarily worry about animation fidelity and just have fun with the responsiveness of it. But it just didn't look that convincing in the footage. Like, there's one bit when the dude has like a shotgun or a rifle or something, and the reticle is like the size of the screen.
Yeah.
And I was like, that specifically reminds me of like Alpha Protocol. And it's like the whole thing kind of reminded me of that era of like, and it's not necessarily a bad, it's not a bad era, but it reminded me of games like Alpha Protocol or Red Dead Revolver or whatever, which were games in progress of a certain goal that was then hit in the sequel or hit later down the line from that studio. And I still love those games. Like, I love Alpha Protocol and I wish they would remake it, but it's an era of gaming that you can target, but it has to have a charm to pull you through.
Yeah.
And I guess I wonder in terms of all that kind of weird junk and the way it all seemed like it was stitching together, whether a level of charm comes through.
Not to steal a game that is coming up in this discussion soon, but going into the state of play, if you asked me between Stellar Blade and Rise of Ronin, which one was I more looking forward to, I'd have said Rise of Ronin. Coming out with the show, it's night and day between the two. Stellar Blade is up there, Rise of Ronin is down there. It wasn't a convincing trailer. I'd still be interested in checking it out, but because it does look so much like games we've already played, and games we frankly played years ago, you know, that's not always a bad thing, but that recency is still in mind. All that trailer did for me was when the combat showed the character switching stances, I just thought, I'd like to go back to Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah.
I'd like to play the director's cut of that. I've not played it since the PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. So, you know, jobs are good in that front, Sony. You've stealthily promoted your first-party games while promoting your third-party ones.
That was what I kind of thought of as well, because then especially you're reminded of how good Tsushima's animation and fluidity and the general combat and everything is. But speaking of Stellar Blade, and we can transition into that, I didn't realize that game's published by Sony. Like that, it's going to be an exclusive. Maybe it's a timed one, but we've got a release date. It's coming towards the end of April. And that's something that, like, I remember, like, when the first trailer came out, I was like, cool, potentially cool. Like, I'm a huge anime fan. I love the look of the general aesthetic and the combat and everything. But then seeing the big open world, I was like, sweet. Like, if you've done like a Nier Automata style open world where it's quite barren, but you're checking in at different populaces and taking missions and whatever, but then the combat is so slick, it's like, I'm totally there for all that. Like, I thought that game demoed extremely well. Like, didn't come across it came across with a lot of confidence, and it's like that. I'm a day one for that, although I will have a child by then.
You will,
so, child over there for a bit.
That'll be the first game your child sees, probably imprinted directly
just
into their brain.
Vision. Yeah. It's got to be done.
What do you think of this side?
Yes, so what you just kind of said before, I didn't come in with a lot of expectation for this game, but they really, you said confidence, really bowled me over with it. It seems like they really know what it is, even if it is easy to go, Nier Automata, which is sitting on my shelf unplayed and has been for years.
I just
keep forgetting, I should get around to it.
So
but
long,
now this
but
is going to come along and it's probably going to have to wait a little bit longer. Didn't expect it to be coming so soon. Good for Sony. Obviously, they needed some titles like that.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
They do need like a general, yeah, like a bigger slate. Like I think going into the state of play, it was very like, what the hell have you guys even got for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
But now they do have this in April, and we're going to get to Death Stranding and Kojima stuff for the future. But
only concern I was just going to say is towards the end of the trailer, you obviously get a lot of focus on boss fights. Mm. I'm sitting there uncovered being like, is this going to wind up being like a Souls-like? Is this going to just be loads of parries? Because then I'm out. I'm going to spend $70 on
the camera floating around Eve. I'm there. The camera behind her shoulder against the boss. I'm out again.
No, £70 coaster. This is gonna wind up in my house.
Not be more different. I saw that first parody. Saw that first parry and just thought, I'm so in. This is so beyond it. With a parry. It's funny. I completely forgot about Stellar Blade. In the run up to this. Showcase, state of play. And then when we did, you know, like what was leaked previously in the run-up to the sort of announcements, everyone in the comments was saying, Stellar Blade. Mm. I can't wait to see more Stellar Blade. And I was thinking like, what? What is this? Why is everyone so hyped about it? Now I kind of understand, because it does seem so much bigger than I was anticipating it to be in terms of its scale and in terms of its impact. It coming in April, I think, is a huge win. It gives, you know, PlayStation 5 fans something to look forward to, that mixture of storytelling, open world, and graphical fidelity alongside that, like, really fast-paced, blistering combat. I'm really excited to play it. And those comparisons to Nier Automata, I actually, before it was revealed to be Stellar Blade, I thought, is this some kind of Nier spin-off? I thought, is it even set in the same world? Is this something adjacent to it? And anything that reminds me of Nier Automata, I'm absolutely a fan of.
Yeah, watching the gameplay for it, I was like, I'm going to do everything in this game. Like, unless there's a bunch of really repeaty, grindy stuff. I just love the mesh of, like, the environments and the combat and, like, the mission design, how it seems to come across. Big over-the-top bosses and really, really fun chunky combat. Like, yeah, I like gameplay forward stuff, and it just looks awesome. Let's talk about Kojima stuff, and we can roll these together, but we've got Death Stranding 2 and Kojima's new Metal Gear, which is called Fizzant by the looks of the name for
lovely
it.
Lovely stuff.
And what's that name, Josh?
I don't know. What's he doing? Kojima puts out? I don't know, but I like it.
Let's do one thing at a time. I was going to roll them together just because it's Kojima madness, but Death Stranding 2 was shown off first in one of the most impressive trailers in quite some time. Like, lots of cutscene stuff, but a nice mix of gameplay as well. And I like that Death Stranding 2 on the beach, the name was right that leaked. It's just amazing. On the beach. Everything that leaked for that, looks very, very, was shown for that, sorry, looks very promising. And I like that it's just taken off from where Death Stranding 1 stopped, where it's like at the very end of Death Stranding 1, we get some ridiculous apocalyptic imagery, the whole everything fractures, reality is broken, whatever it is. But you can save the world with a hug, and then after there is now where we are, and everything's just all over the place, and there's a talking puppet, and Troy Baker's back as like a sort of 80s glam rock Joker with an electric guitar, like a literal electric, It's an axe as well, which I didn't realize till this morning.
I know what this guy thinks about Death Stranding, and particularly the ending.
Only the story.
Where do you even fit on the franchise? Because I feel like sometimes we're in a bubble where we just like talk about this game like the best thing ever made, and it is. But I don't know how a trailer like this, which is so mad and so expects you to already be invested in the world, even hits for other people. Mm.
Yes, that's the thing. Where do I fit on the franchise? I don't.
I haven't
played it, and I'm not going to play it. I'm not interested. And Death Stranding 2, I won't be playing that because I haven't played the first one.
You might love it.
I won't love it.
Do you want to deliver packages for 80 hours?
Not really, no. While Kojima sort of like mumbles out a story at me. And
the story's terrible. It's just
absolute
that it's,
nonsense.
It's well, it's fun to play.
I just like, I've got nothing. Literally just like, I was supposed to stay and play like, oh yeah. And afterwards my face, you know, smoothed off mozzarella, like nothing. But no expressions for you, Kojima. Just, I was like, oh, this is the rest of the state of play.
Yeah. I think at this point.
Scott, I'm not acknowledging her anymore. This is a video between you and I now.
Which is kind of the way the franchise has gone. I remember when Death Stranding came out in 2019 and obviously the marketing was incredible. It was Kojima's next game. Sony got behind it and everything, but it did fall out of the top 40 across like 2 weeks. I don't even think it got to number one initially anyway. And I feel like the general response to Death Stranding or the general response to Kojima is this room right now. And like you have the hardcore fans, yeah. You have someone who's like, oh my God, I can't.
I do appreciate how just like hard into the zone state. Like I fully committed to like someone with gloves or like hands on their shoulders.
That?
I was like, this is just, okay, sure, that's the thing. And
yeah. The
little puppet, Alan Wake looking dude, the animation on that, superb.
It's in like 6 frames a second.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, I can get the appeal. It just, for me, I would just like have no reaction to playing. Yeah, it would do nothing for me. Here,
I think
so.
Where Kojima's at in his career, like obviously, like he was a big old auteur across Konami. The Sony years with Konami broke away. Sony was like, here's a blank check, do another franchise. And I always think they secretly wanted another Metal Gear, but he was like, I'm going to do a sort of fetch quest simulator with all these weird ghosts and you actually make poop grenades and everything. And so they did all that. And then now finally, Herman Hulst was like, I've convinced him to do another Metal Gear, but he's still got all that. Let's just get all my ideas out there for Death Stranding. And I think that now Kojima, or at least within his own mind, and you can argue this, is up there with the Lynches of the world, or the Sam Lakes, to make a more gaming medium comparison, where you know what a Kojima game is and there's a tone to it and it's very experimental and it's more about the feeling you get watching that imagery or whatever than it all making literal sense. He said that when he was developing Metal Gear Solid 5, that he's not bothered about things making perfect sense. He just wants to take you on a ride now. And I think there's two sides to that, because it can just be nonsense, like the end of Death Stranding. But he's steering the hell into that for Death Stranding 2. And I think because you know that going in, as opposed to trying to answer a mystery, which is where, to me, Death Stranding 1 fell down, because it was 80 hours of getting to an answer that was incredibly unsatisfying to me. Once you go into Death Stranding 2 and they're leading with, like I said, weird zombie Joker, Troy Baker, I'm all in with that. Like, it's fine. You're leading with the insane stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I kind of wanted to even be on this video at all was to say you were wrong and I was right.
I don't think that's true.
No, honestly, for about, when did Death Stranding 1 come out? 2019 and 2019? Yeah. For nearly 5 years now, right?
Yeah,
you've
been
saying on podcasts and videos when Death Stranding gets brought up that you always thought, like you were saying there, that Sony wanted a new Metal Gear from Kojima. And I kept saying, nah, they wouldn't have. Like, I'm sure they would have wanted a blockbuster, but they don't want him to just do Metal Gear again. I'm sure they're happy with him taking chances on new IPs and stuff. And then 5 years later, they came out and announced that, yeah, we're doing a new Metal Gear, more or less. Stealth espionage action.
Yeah, like Herman Hulst being like, my favorite genre, action espionage. I'm like,
and you know what, Scott? I'm big enough to say it. You were absolutely spot on with that. That was an astute thought.
That was always the thing. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it could have gone either way. I like the fact that it's a new IP. I'm glad they didn't. They could have negotiated with Konami. I'm sure eventually Konami would have caved. They could have done another Metal Gear. There's still rumors out there that Konami's doing another Metal Gear with the remaining, you know, part of whoever worked with Kojima in the past. But if you're snatching up Hideo Kojima, the Metal Gear man, they're not going to do a new Zone of the Enders. Or a Snatcher, much as I'd love them to.
Man.
I know. But still, you know, that's, to me, that was always why they got him. I think he needed to just excise his creative muscles for a bit, exercise them, and then now do more fizzant.
What I love about this is, I didn't even talk about Death Stranding 2. It was amazing. I loved it. I loved every single second of it. The tease about baby Lou being like dead. What's happening with Lou? I need to know.
Yeah.
I can't wait a year and a bit to figure it out. Mm-hmm. What was I saying? Yeah, the Metal Gear that they've got Kojima on now. Mm-hmm. I still don't even think that's going to be what Sony wants. I think it's going to be like, I keep making this reference, but it seems quite apt, when Showtime got David Lynch and Mark Frost back to make Twin Peaks Season 3. They thought it was going to be a big hit, and it came back with like the weirdest thing ever. Yeah. That was Twin Peaks in name, but most of the general audience was like, what is this? Just the way he was talking about blending like live action with gaming mechanics, and that can of course be done well. Alan Wake 2 was one of my favorite games of last year. But, you know, I think Sony might be going into it thinking, we want another Metal Gear 5,
yeah,
and he's going to give them an Alan Wake 2, which I think is better, but I'm going to be interested to see how it shakes out, because I laughed so much when the shot pulled out and it was actually in the Sony Pictures lot. Amazing stuff.
Well, they've said it's going to be this whole cross-media approach. They want to do games, movies, TV shows, and music and everything, which, like, Kojima's been approaching that across, like, Death Stranding. Like, there's loads of low-roar stuff in there, almost like it was like a collaboration thing. And yeah, he's wanted to make a movie since the beginning of his gaming career. He's said he grew up watching movies with his dad, and he got into games because he couldn't get into movies, and then kind of like helped revolutionize what games can be by injecting so much cinematics into them. So, like, now that he's able to do everything, like, it is a bigger blank check than ever, assumedly. Either that goes even more off the rails down that route that Metal Gear Solid 5 and Death Stranding were taken, or he has to answer to more producers who rein him in a little bit. Because to me, I was looking at the name of the dude that eventually left, who used to be one of his co-writers. It was Kenji Yano. Over the years, who used to be one of his sort of co-writers over the years that wasn't on Death Stranding. And I think it's interesting looking at the wider group of people who work with him over the years and how increasingly off the rails Metal Gear got, the more some people left those projects and the more they were given into him. And it, you can argue in art whether you want completely unrestrained creative freedom. I do for the most part, but I reserve the right to critique whatever comes out the other end of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, but still, you know, that is that question on, you know, a Hideo Kojima game is hundreds of people more than him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting seeing that over the years, because it's like, oh, we'll just, it's like the Kevin Feige or the James Gunn thing in Marvel and DC. It's like, oh, one person can do everything. It's like, they can't. And, like, I'm curious that you're giving him that much control, what that ends up looking like now, across multiple mediums.
He's been let off the leash as well.
Yeah.
Like, what's it going to happen when you say the producers come in and be like, not so sure about that. Now that he's had his fresh air and gone running amok.
He's tucking himself out a little bit.
He's had a taste of freedom, you know what I mean? They're going to try and put him back in a box a little bit. Be really interesting to see what happens with the relationships between him and some of the people at Sony, because it might not go well if they're like, we need this. And he's like, no, poop grenades, you know.
So. That's the thing. And it's like the reason that he ended up falling out with Konami, it was a specific dude's name who I don't know off the top of my head, who he did have a big falling out with at the top of Konami, and it reportedly was to do with budgets towards Metal Gear. And at some point they just had to say, no, we've given you this much, you have to ship something, which is why that game shipped with its ending not even on the disc, it's on a special edition version of the game. So I'm curious how far that stuff goes. I imagine this going forward, it'll play like the director's cut stuff that's in Death Stranding, where it's like, that's a mix of Metal Gear and Death Stranding.
Right. Yeah, I think this situation is slightly different, just because this time around, Kojima has Kojima Productions, right? And they're working with Sony, and they're probably going to get some, you know, money to help development. They're certainly going to get resources. They're still using the Decima engine for at least Death Stranding 2. So there were, of course, going to be producers around, but I wonder how beholden he'll even be to them, because he's not a first party. It's not like Naughty Dog, where there's this direct relationship.
That's true.
You know, it's pretty much just like them working with Square Enix, and I can't imagine they were, you know, really hands-on with Square Enix and stuff. I could be entirely wrong, but I think by now, you know, they're probably hoping for a Metal Gear, but they know he's done Death Stranding. They know what he's about. Everyone knows what he's about. I just think, I think if it was a first-party situation, I would probably be more on board with that idea of people kind of interfering and making it more of a mainstream thing. But I think he's maintained Kojima Productions as a separate entity for a reason, because means he gets to make these things with these partners, but it also means he gets to, you know, keep being mad and then work with Xbox for something like OD, you know, keep his options open.
Yeah.
That said, you know, you were talking about the Death Stranding director's cut. The one thing I didn't like about Death Stranding 2 was where you saw the room full of guns. That franchise needs less guns, if anything.
No!
Nah, man, you don't need... The combat parts of Death Stranding 1 were the worst parts. You know, like the absolute worst parts. The best
parts ending?
Were walking around. That's why it's the worst. What do you mean the ending?
The end. Oh, well, we did this back in 2019.
The ending of the game.
The last 2-hour cutscene. God. All that stuff is what I would have as the worst thing. Him trying to walk the line, though, I guess, where he's at, you need to try and do a bit of both. Do a bit of Metal Gear, do a bit of the off-the-leash stuff that he started to tease with Death Stranding. But we'll see how such a ridiculous endeavor comes together.
Busy man right now. Death Stranding 2, OD, and Pheasant, did he say?
Pheasant.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.